It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yes. Welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad is back on Zoom. I'm not a fan of this Zoom stuff. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm just not.
Keenan had our trials and tribulations with Zoom this week.
Just not the fan of it. But we're here as a squad. Anime Shun, you know what we do. We have anime debates, one-offs. We discuss movies. We talk our trash. I see you got one of the stickers up there. Ah, yeah. See, yeah, I still have some stickers left. But I have bought a bunch of anime stickers. And I was just like letting everybody at the office have whatever they want. And Brennan took a few, some dope ones.
Some good ones, for sure. I designed a water bottle. I literally bought this water bottle so that it would match the color of his hair and his shit. Oh, bro. And then I made a storyline on it because it starts off with.
Oh, my God.
It starts off with all
such
my things.
Dweeb.
So it starts off with All Might saying, "Next is your turn."
Uh-huh.
And then Midoriya is like, "Okay."
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, "But I have this power." And he's like, "Then I whoop that ass, no, plus ultra."
I actually like that's kind of dope, man.
Right?
I can't hate on that. Rob wants to give you no credit right now. Rob is not rocking with you with that.
I love that One Punch Man Midoriya okay sticker. That one's fucking great.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that I let slip by.
Where was I at when he was giving out stickers?
I made a comic book of my water bottle from My Hero Academia. I'm happy
But
about
you
it.
Famously don't read manga, so are you even going to read
you
your own
you
water
made a
bottle?
Comic book?
All right, well, that's it for me today, guys. It was good to
that's
see you.
That's a wrap. He's done.
Brennan has tapped out the most in this podcast. Y'all have to realize that. Anytime he don't get his way, we say something he doesn't like, you know, I'm just going to shut down for 25 minutes. And then we come over with a hero can sing. Wait a second now. That's some crap.
Oh, it makes me so mad when he sings anything from Nickelback.
Y'all been crushing on Nickelback on my post on Instagram, too. People, I didn't realize, and we're going to get to the podcast right now in a second, but I didn't realize how many black people love Nickelback. I did not know. If you check out Kevon Say's post about when I talk about how Nickelback's one of the greatest groups of all time, black people are in there saying, "Thank you for speaking for me. I love them since we were in middle school." They love Nickelback.
That's a cult. They're all the fucking
It's probably just because white people don't like them.
And that's exactly what I said on the thing. I said, because white people don't like them, we love them.
You can have them, man. Honestly, you can have them.
Rob's like, let me
the white
community,
the white
right
delegation,
the white delegation is training Nickelback. We've waved them. They
are
just like
you wet.
They're
now
waved.
You're training them. They're waving. Yeah, just waving them. Yeah,
package
deal for free. No problem.
A package deal right, in vanilla
you can,
ice.
You can have Terry Crews. Yeah, you can have Terry Crews. We'll
that's a problematic pickup for us. That's too bad.
Don't worry, he got your back. He got
he
your
does.
Back. He's got your
I've
he
seen
got
that.
Back for sure.
I've seen that.
All right, man, go ahead. I just get your shit off.
Oh
man.
My God, I'm just so happy to say this, and I'm so happy to be here with you guys because this is the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
All right.
It was lackluster because the sound cut out, but yeah. All right.
The greatest anime podcast
week,
in the fucking world. I just wanted
this week we're going to end off in Parasite this week, episodes 21 through 24, right?
Yep.
Parasite the Maxim. And yeah, man, this is we're going to close it out. And let's see how strong this anime closed out. Go ahead, Rob.
So, episode 21 picks up, you know, right where we left off. They're in the middle of this raid on the city hall, backed into a corner in the council chambers. The mayor is delivering this speech to the police about the selfishness of humanity and how they're a poison that the parasites are a cure for, and that humanity needs to respect their predators as part of the balance. And the police respond with bullets. And we discover that, bum, 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 He was a human all along. This guy that we thought was a parasite.
That was crazy. I did not see that coming.
That was a hell of a twist.
Yeah.
Hell of a twist.
Yeah. Real good twist.
Goto, the last remaining of the parasites now, you know, other than Migi and Joe, continues his rampage, slaughtering the police in his monstrous form. While elsewhere in the building, the serial killer, Origami, steals a gun and makes his escape from custody. Who could have possibly seen that coming? Migi senses that things are just getting completely out of control and just tells Shinichi, listen, we should just go home. But unfortunately, as they're leaving, Yamagishi's head comes flying off of the roof, as does Goto, who promises to kill Shinichi, but he's a little tired right now, so he'll do it later. And he takes off, but not before Shinichi.
Imagine somebody that's about to whoop your ass, and you know they can whoop your ass. Like, I don't know, fucking John Jones about to fucking whoop your ass. Like, you know what? I'm tired right now. I got you later. Like, I don't have issues with anxiety, but my anxiety will be through the fucking roof moving forward until that shit happens. Like, that shit is sick.
Yeah, and I mean, that's pretty much what happens. I mean, while he's leaving, Shinichi does spot a spot on Goto's back where some bullets were able to do some damage, but that's not really, that's not helping him at all. He knows that ultimately he's got to face him, and it's probably going to lead to his death, and he just starts seeing Goto's face everywhere he goes. He's having, like, full-on panic attacks, you know, waking up screaming from his sleep, you know, reimagining that attack, seeing his own head where Yamagishi's was. And at one point, you know, when Migi is asleep and he can't wake him up, he just starts to panic and run through the crowd and even lashes out at a couple of passing bullies on the street in, like, this PTSD episode, because he's just like, if Migi's asleep, I can't defend myself. But eventually he does run into Murano, and he wants some comfort from her, but she pushes him away at first because he's scaring her, but she finds him later at a park, and wanting to comfort him for all he's been through, she invites him back to her place, and they get it on.
He put it down.
And all of a sudden, he confesses his love for her, and wouldn't you know it, now he wants to live. Now this man wants to live to see what it's like.
That's the worst place to tell somebody you love them is in the bed after sex. I feel like that's the absolute worst place.
Feelings are not real. You're letting off a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But also, too, he's 16. If he lost his virginity to her, he's going to say anything.
Right. At this point, right? The next morning, he's taking his proverbial, you know, walk of shame, as some call it, when Migi picks up that Goto is coming in hot. This guy is coming in probably from a car. So the two of them steal a car and get out of town. And when they're on this country road, they drop the car on Goto. And even the explosion from that is not enough to kill this dude. So they go running off into the woods, devise a plan to attack Goto by splitting up and trying to sneak attack him with some fire. Goto's following Migi's signal and ends up attacking him. And Shinichi is able to, in a sneak attack, burn him. But Migi fails to sever Goto's head completely. And in his first act of selflessness, Migi holds Goto's attention and attacks him and urges Shinichi to run so at least one of them can live. And as he starts to deteriorate from being outside of his contact with Shinichi, he says that he was glad that, you know, he didn't take over Shinichi's brain and that they were able to develop a friendship. Shinichi does run, now without his right arm and with a new scar from the fight with Goto, but he eventually runs into a kind old lady who takes him in, and he helps her out with some chores while he just kind of rests up and heals. He pretends to be her nephew, as people in the village don't really like outsiders because of a bunch of strange stuff that's happened around there recently, including these huge piles of garbage that just start showing up out of nowhere. He also mourns the loss of Migi, but has a dream where he's speaking with him again. And when he wakes up, one of Migi's eyes is still on his right arm. So after all, as we know, those cells are still inside his body. So Migi's still there, at least a little bit. The next day, there's commotion. Goto has attacked one of the people in the village where Shinichi is staying. And when he hears that there's a monster in the woods, he knows it's time. He can't run away forever. This is, you know, facing Goto basically is destiny at this point. So that night, he wanders into the woods to face him with only a rusty machete that he took from the old woman's place.
Does this rank? Hold on, I just out of curiosity, does this rank with the stupidest shit we've seen people do?
No.
Because for me, I'm just like, a machete? Against this guy. Okay, but go on.
Because he's Shinichi. If it was somebody random, I would say that. But
he's Shinichi without Migi.
But he still has a developed body, a well-developed body.
And he could have got a gun. We talked about flamethrowers. I'm just saying.
Where is he going to find that in this peaceful little village?
And he already knows the guns doesn't work on him.
He doesn't know about a flamethrower.
That's true. He did say hunting rifles aren't going to do shit against Goto, but... Yeah. You're right, Brennan. He doesn't have much of a chance, and he knows that. And he's eerily calm, you know, going into the woods, and he finds Goto asleep. And at first he calls out to Miggy, maybe hoping that, you know, he got absorbed and might still be alive in there somewhere, but he doesn't get any response. So he goes out to attack, but Goto snaps awake and easily defends himself, reveals his final form with like four eyes and all these crazy arms and legs he's got going on. Shinichi does seem to have, you know, his heightened strength, but even with that, he doesn't stand a fucking chance against Goto. He's
One Punch Man level, damn near.
Yeah, he's getting like, knocked around.
Because he punched him, and he was like, oh, you thought you was going to beat me with a punch? Oh, let me try that. And he made a fist and just fucking catapulted his ass.
Yeah.
That was funny. He was like, of all the things of a human that you can use against me, you used your bare... You know what? Get the fuck up out of here, man.
But Shinichi's refusing to give up. He's thinking back on the old woman that's just like in Migi and his, you know, ingenuity. And he's like, all right, I'm going to try to outthink this dude. And he winds up on one of those huge piles of trash that's been piling up outside the village and finds this like rusty spike and manages to stab Goto right in that weak spot that he noticed during the attack on City Hall. And being wounded by a human makes Goto go absolutely fucking berserk. And he's about to finish Shinichi off, but a little bit of Migi that's still in the body blocks that blade attack, and miraculously, Migi is able to jump out of Goto's body. He did survive by being absorbed, but with this attack, he's able to rejoin Shinichi, and he explains that basically there was garbage poison on that spike, and it's causing like total discord in Goto's like multi-parasite body, and they're all just like trying to get away from him. And it allows Migi to escape and then also start his attack as the other parasites are starting to rebel and try to get away from him. Goto tries to get control of it, but can't manage and just explodes in this huge splash of gore. But he's not completely dead. Migi does say that he's, you know, trying to reform himself. Something's still alive. But he leaves this decision to Shinichi what to do. He's like, listen, if I did this, this would basically be murder. So it's up to you whether you want to spare Goto or not. And at first, Shinichi decides not to kill him. Maybe because they are a cure for humanity's evils and it could be good for the Earth. But Migi then tells him he hates people that say they do things for the Earth as if the Earth cares. So it's just enough to tip Shinichi back towards survival, you know, just to protect him and his family. And he finishes off Goto to protect his loved ones, ultimately. And then in the last episode, we pick up sometime later after the City Hall attack and finishing off Goto. Parasites have pretty much disappeared from the public. No more mincemeat murders. Shinichi thinks, you know, they probably are still around. This was a worldwide thing, but now they must just be blending in better as humans and even eating human food instead of people. Migi then comes to Shinichi in a dream and tells him that he's going to go into an eternal slumber. When he's asleep, he's able to think much more quickly and sees that as his next step of evolution. Essentially, Shinichi will get his hand back and it'll be like nothing ever happened. Migi tells him to remember the people that he's lost, but to forget about him. Shinichi, of course, can't forget about him, but tries to go back to a normal life. He and Murano are still seeing each other, and she helps him study for his college entrance exams. He keeps in touch with Uda and Joe, and also waxes poetic about how humans can't understand what other animals are feeling, but we should try to respect our neighbors on Earth. However, things don't stay peaceful for very long. Urigami makes his presence known again, kidnaps Murano to taunt Shinichi into a final confrontation. He lures him up to a roof, killing two people on the way, and gives a speech about how humans are meant to be killers and we are fighting against our own nature. And that's why there's so many of us. He says that Shinichi is a monster just like him. And even Murano kind of starts thinking about that. Shinichi pleads with him to let her go, but she says that her life is probably over. So just run and call the police. She's not scared of him anyway, after all that she's been through. But Shinichi calms himself and attacks, decks Urigami while taking a knife in the arm, and leaps to catch Murano. And at first it seems like she's too far out of his grasp, but Migi appears one last time to grab onto her and save her life, all while complimenting humans on their ability to care for others. And Shinichi and Murano lie on the roof, thankful to be alive. And Shinichi thinks about how we give our lives meaning by being close to others and choosing to care for them. And with that, that's how Parasite the Maxim comes to a close.
Yeah, it did.
None of us predicted this, for the record. Not one of us.
No. So we're gonna get to the questions. Let's go here first.
pretty much at the end, Miggy comes to Snitchy in a dream. Do you think Miggy was a hoe for saying goodbye in a dream? And do you agree with his decision, Brennan? It's your question, so you feel like you must have had some, like, all right, he kind of feel like a little bit of a hoe to me.
Wait, ask the question again one time.
It's your question,
you
fool.
Question. You made the question.
I wasn't listening.
Do you think Miggy was a hoe for saying goodbye in a dream? Did you agree?
That was the weakest goodbye of all time. Like, I'm like, he's like, in all the conversations we've had in dreams, you don't remember them, first of all. Second of all, we just went through this super traumatizing experience together. The only reason that I could even justify that Miggy would do this would be like, I know that you're going to cry like a little hoe if I try to like leave you and you're going to beg me not to do it. So I'm going to do it in your dream. But even still, that's still a weak way to go out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to look you in the eyes and tell you. I'm going to do it in your dream. You might not remember the conversation. You're just going to wake up and I'm going to be gone. Like, I'm just going to be a ham. Like, I thought that was weak sauce to the 10th degree. And that Miggy, out of all the things, this is like by far the weak, the only like I can point out and say this is the weakest decision Miggy has made. Because normally it's everything's like logic, logic, logic. And this one is feelings. So maybe that was on purpose. I don't know, but I did not agree with that decision at all. I was like, this is so far out of what Miggy's character is like.
Miggy was a straight up hoe with a capital H-O-E. Like, I don't understand. You try to give, I guess, and what you just said right now about him having like maybe feelings, like, all right, giving some type of emotion, but I don't think you should have used it here. I think it should have been used somewhere else. And then you could have called it back here. But man, this was weak. I watched this episode with my hand on my face like this the whole time. Like, oh god, this is just trash. So I'm with you, man. When you wrote this question, good. Hoe was the right word, Brennan.
Right. Yeah, I feel like this is definitely. I mean, I can see what you're saying, Brennan, about like, yeah, maybe they were trying to make it seem like, oh, he was finally emotional for once, so he couldn't handle it, but. I don't think it's kind of shitty that in a way he was kind of like trying to gaslight Shinichi, like, oh, you dreamed the whole thing, like not leaving him with any proof of anything that happened and just be like, ah, you'll just forget it and you'll wake up and you won't remember. I thought that was.
And I hope you forget me.
Yeah. Like, that did feel pretty weak, especially considering he was just like, I'm so glad we had this friendship together and the fact that he wouldn't want him to like remember that. So, yeah, I did think that was not a great way for them to end their relationship. As it were.
Rob, was he a hoe for doing
it? He was a bit of a hoe. Yeah, dude was a bit of a
Thank
hoe.
Thank you. Rob was trying to be, no, I want to hear Rob say he was a hoe.
I don't think that scene hit me that hard. I didn't have any way about it. He just came in a dream and just told him. And I mean, him saying it in person really wouldn't have done anything else for me. As far as saying
he would have remembered it.
But it's not. I mean, like, that's neither here nor there. I think that's just it's just whatever. I don't think he's a hoe, and I'm the one that's always I'm quick to call somebody a hoe. But I just don't think that this strikes me as like a hoe moment. It's just like, hey, you're in a dream. They've written this of him talking to him in his dream already. It'd be different if they never talked about this before. But they've talked to him in his dream several times, and it's just another way. Like, it's a way to end that the dream sequences that he's been having. So I didn't. It didn't really do nothing for me. I wouldn't say he's a hoe. He just kept on keeping on.
Let me tell you something, man. When it's your anime that you pick, you're going to find a way to defend
it.
That's not even in your tendency to defend something like this, bro.
I don't think it was a defense thing. I mean, you'll hear it later on. I'm not defending it in any way, but I think this moment, like watching it, I just wasn't like, oh my God, he a hoe. Like a question about this didn't even come up. I just thought, like I said, if they didn't have any dream sequences prior to this, then I probably would have felt the way. But they've had dream sequences before this, more than one, and it's just kind of tying into that. So I didn't think it was a big deal.
All right, next question. Shinichi had a tough decision in whether or not to spare Goto. All right. What would you have done in his shoes, Rob?
I was honestly pretty surprised that he was so compassionate at first. I probably would have gone right to the second one right away. Like, I gotta kill this dude. He's gonna hunt me down wherever I go, and he's gonna make life miserable for everybody I know. So for him to try to like, oh, I'm gonna turn the other cheek and I can't like hold him up to human standards was kind of like, dude, where are you coming from with this? I didn't think it was such a, I didn't think it was such a 50-50, you know, question, really. The fact that he was even willing to like, oh, let me just put it up to chance. If he can make it, then he can make it. I feel like I'd be pretty strong, like, no, let's finish this dude off now. Because he's not at that point, he's not even coming just for Shinichi. He's coming for everybody. And I think it was pretty an easy decision that this guy had to go.
Right.
Oh, now y'all want to talk about hoe moments. This is definitely a hoe moment on Shinichi's part. This man, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? This man is dead. We're killing him. Like, yeah, what are we talking about? The game I live and I die for every day? Like, I just don't understand why this is even a conversation. You can't compartmentalize feelings like that. Given, it'd be different if you was getting this information secondhand. You saw all of this stuff yourself. You saw the destruction of parasites, and you saw the destruction of him specifically. What are we talking about? That shouldn't even have been a thought in your mind. So, yeah, I'm killing him.
Yeah, after all he's seen, after all he's been through, other people that he's attacked and went forward with,
yeah.
The guy that's the most dangerous,
yeah.
That's clearly the strongest person, you're like, ah. I don't know if this is cognitive dissonance. I think that's what it's called. I said the wrong. I don't know if that's what it was, but him and Migi hold out. This is the same. He's a hoe. I gotta agree. He's a hoe in this moment. This is when you make the big moment. If it was like another weaker parasite that wasn't really that strong at killing or something like that I know I can easily take out.
Yeah,
I might be like, all right, man, get your punk ass up out of here or something like that. I'll let you ride out, but. Nah, not in this way. Brennan?
I would have looked him in the eye and ended his life with zero remorse.
Zero.
None.
He wouldn't have no eyes.
Like, I'd have looked him in whatever I thought was the perceptive part of his body and ended his life. Because I'm like, if the situation was reversed, you would have killed me. If the situation was regular without you dying like that, you would have killed me. You've been trying to kill me. Your whole goal was to kill me. You already told me you was going to kill me. You was killing people because I was around here. No. You dead.
Yeah, it's so weird for them to like, both of these guys throughout the series have been cold-blooded in moments. Mm. And for them to both be like, I don't know, this might be murder. And for like, then even Migi, like as he's walking away to kind of just be like, really, you're just going to leave him there like that? Like, why you put that decision in Shinichi's hand if you're just going to like, shit talk his decision after the fact? Like, I guess he was just like, no, but really, you should go kill that guy. It was just a very weird way to have that play out and to end that confrontation, I thought.
Yeah, didn't make any sense. Next question. Has anybody ever put the fear of you, like Goto put the fear in Shinichi? Like, you saw how afraid he was when he came down and he started to see him and other people. Has anybody ever put the fear in you like that? Whether you were younger as a kid, it could be when you're a kid or when you're older. For me, I can't necessarily pinpoint a person, but when I would see a Samoan get mad, I was like, shit, you don't want a Samoan angry because one, they are the nicest people in the world. But then when they're angry, I don't know. I haven't seen anybody stop one personally. I've never seen somebody be able to stop a Samoan that's angry and just starts knocking everybody's head off. And I've seen people that knew how to fight really well, and it didn't matter because they just didn't have the power to knock out a 13-year-old Samoan, even though they were 25, because the Samoan is as strong as a 35-year-old that bench presses 400 pounds. So when I've seen that, and I've seen them like get angry and go crazy, they didn't even go crazy on me. I was just like, oh, shit. I was just like, hey, man. Rob?
I don't know, like, I guess the closest I would think would be, like, growing up, like, maybe my dad. Like, if I knew I fucked up, if I knew, like, I had done something wrong, and, like, oh, my dad's coming home, and he's He's not going to be happy. Like, that was the one that I was just like, oh, shit. Like, fear of God is coming down. But I didn't really have anybody that I was like, you know, a situation where it's just like, hey, after school, by the flagpole. And I was just spent the rest of the day seeing that dude's face everywhere. No. But, yeah. You know, definitely as a kid, like, the fear of your parents, like, at least for me, like, knowing when I fucked up was just like, oh, shit. Like, I got to act right. I got to make sure that I get my stuff okay and in line before, you know, I end up on some... Before I wind up in trouble, yeah.
Brennan?
Same thing. Like, I don't know if you ever saw that show back in the day. It's like, wait until your father gets home. Like, it was just like straight up, like, you know, get in trouble. My mom's just like, wait till your dad gets home. Like, that to me is like, I feel like the greatest fear I experienced in life.
If your father was in your life, definitely. That has happened to me, but at a certain age, it kind of went away. But we'll get into that later. Yeah. But I agree. I can see normally the father is like the disciplinary in most people's families.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Yep. Terrifying.
Just knowing, sitting in your room knowing that shit's coming.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna get a whooping. Like, it's gonna hurt. Pain is coming. The anticipation was actually normally worse than the whooping, to be fully honest.
Always.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
My dad was, just so you know, my dad was the worst. Because as we got a little bit older, he would start giving us a choice. Like, he'd be all intimidated, holding a belt, looking at you like at 11 years old, like, either you could take this whooping or you could take a grounding.
Grounding is way like, worse than any whooping.
I'll take the grounding. And then grounded, you go through like half, and then you get like half of the grounding, like a weekend, and you're just like, I gotta do this for another whole week. Yeah. Dad, I'll take the whooping.
I'm gonna bring you. You only got grounded for a week?
Yeah, my grounding.
No, I got
2 weeks minimum.
Damn.
Bro, I got grounded for a whole semester because I got a fail in a class.
Oh, yeah, you
I got grounded for a whole semester because I got a C.
Okay, damn. That's worse. C's get degrees. All right, Ice.
Every woman I ever dated is quicker for God than me. I think that's the only
thing. At some point or another?
I ain't never feared no man, but I think sometimes where I've made bad decisions, and it's not like cheating or infidelity or nothing like that, but just like if, you know, she asks you to do something, you don't do it, it's like, fuck. Like, yeah, so it'd definitely be women that I've dated in my past that put the fear in me.
Okay. So there was a guy that saw Shinichi's scar. Does any of you guys have a permanent scar on your body that you have, and how'd you get it? Ice?
Yeah, I got a scar on my back, like a big scar that's going across my body. St. Louis is a wicked place, and wicked things happen. And I was involved in some bullshit that, like, and from that, I had to get cut. So I got cut open, and then, I just have like a big ass scar on my back from getting cut.
Now, that situation like, got you?
Huh?
What happened? What do you
the
mean?
The situation got you cut, or you had to get surgery?
The situation. I got shot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you got shot?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest way of telling that story I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Buried the lead on that one.
I got cut open, man. You mean
so
you got,
I think, but
yeah,
I was
shot.
I was mad young. So that's the crazy thing about it, because I was really young when it happened. So it's like the scar like fucking grew with me, and that's the weirdest shit. Like as I grew, like usually scars and stuff go away. Like as I grew, there's just the scar got bigger and bigger and bigger. So yeah.
Oh shit.
Ice out here with just so many secrets, man. He got a kid that nobody know about. I got a kid, man. And all of a sudden, I got shot. You got shot.
Now, I be trying to tell people, man, my lifestyle. I'm, you know, been through some shit. And I never, for Brennan, the record, I never, never, it was never a secret.
All right, you didn't tell nobody, so I guess technically, yeah.
Comes out in layers.
I have many scars, actually.
Which one that's like memorable to you? That's like, man, this shit is like.
I have one on my hip, on the right side of my hip. I got a bone graft taken out of my hip because I had ACL surgery that didn't go well. The first ACL surgery I got didn't go well. They drilled the angle at a bad angle. They drilled the hole because typically an ACL is a tendon that connects pretty much your shin bone to your femur, kind of thing at the knee. And it runs through the middle of your knee. And if you don't have an ACL, then your knee could just dislocate like it's nothing. Oof. And so to be able to replace an ACL, what they have to do is drill a hole through your shin bone and your femur and put it like a new tendon through there. And the first time they did it, they put it at a bad angle for me. So I went back and played basketball. And the very first time when I was 16, I took a jump shot. I came down and just snapped again. And so, yeah. And so, like, I was just like, that's fun. And so I had to go back to the doctor. And they were like, oh, it looks like the University of Michigan Hospital drilled a hole at the bad at a bad angle. We got to redo this. So they took a bone graft from my hip to
go blue.
Put it in my knee, to be able to put it in my knee and let my knee regrow, like regrow the bone so they could drill it again. But I remember distinctly as they were putting me out, I was already on the drugs, they're rolling me back to the surgery room. The doctor looks at me and says, hey, is it okay if we have like one of the med students take your bone graft while I'm working on your knee? And I was just like, huh? And he's like, sounds like a yes. And that med student like severed a nerve in my hip that they weren't supposed to. So I woke up from the surgery and I remember I opened my eyes and it was just like all white. Like I woke up and immediately fell directly into shock. Because I was in so much pain.
You woke up on the table?
No, I woke up like you wait after it was an outpatient surgery. I was supposed to go home that day.
Oh, I thought you woke up on the operating table.
No, so you wake up in this like outpatient area of the hospital where it's just like hospital beds that are just like separated by like a curtain. And I woke up there, my mom was with me. And I remember I opened my eyes and I had a flash of my mom. I saw her, but then like everything went white. And she was like, are you okay, baby? And I was like, I couldn't even breathe. I couldn't do anything. And then like, she was like calling the nurse. And then they just put me back under is all I remember. And then I woke up and I was in a hospital bed and they were like, yeah, you've been out for like a day. Like, you know, like something went wrong with the surgery. You're going to have to stay in the hospital for like a week. So I ended up staying in the hospital for like a week. And it was horrible. So that scar reminds me of like the worst pain I've ever experienced.
Oof. Why are you not rich right now? How did you not sue? Because you're not
sued. Malpractice suits are incredibly difficult to prove because it's like, how do I prove that they did this at the wrong angle? And even if they did, how would I prove they did it on purpose? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, well, it's, you know, half a degree. Like we thought we had it right. We were wrong. You know what I'm saying? And then like for the how do I prove that they asked me to do this when I was under the influence? Like you can't prove shit in a surgery room when you're unconscious.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, it's just like, what do you do?
Fuck, man.
Damn, that's brutal. Yep. Rob, go ahead.
The scars I have now aren't really exciting like any of those stories. I got a couple.
Talk about your love. Sorry.
I got a couple of scars on my back right now. Cause like really just before this whole shit happened, I got a couple like moles taken off my back. So I got a couple like 2-inch scars back there, but I did have some scars, one on each knee growing up that are both really faded. One of them was from, I was out camping with like a buddy of mine and he had like a propane lamp. And I just remember standing next to him and just feeling what started like a tickle and then was just like a white hot burn. And I looked down and like the edge of the lamp was just touching my knee. And I just like, I didn't even say anything. I just ran right to like the main cabin where they had some like faucets and just started pouring water on it. Cause like the skin was just like falling off. So I had like, I had like a scar like that big on my knee for a while. And then I had on the other knee, that one's faded. But I had another one on my other knee that was from me and my friends. I was spending the night at a friend's house. Fireworks are illegal in New York, but, you know, they're not in Pennsylvania. So you had plenty of kids that like had fireworks from, you know, left over from the holidays or whatever. So I remember a buddy brought over like all these fireworks to the sleepover. We were going to like wait till it got really late, sneak out and then like light them off. And I remember the one we were down to like the last one. We were like, all right, this is like, is this like a loud one or anything? And my buddy, I remember him saying, no, this is a pretty quiet one. And so we lit it and it just started screaming like one of those like fireworks that like start shooting sparks out. And we all booked and like jumped over this fence. And as I came down over the fence, like a piece of metal that was sticking out of the fence, like caught my knee, cut my jeans wide open. And I remember we ran back to my buddy's house and he's like, we might have to take you to the hospital, like for tetanus or something. I'm like, I can't go to the hospital, man. Like you got to clean this out. I can't go home and tell my parents what happened, man. So no, luckily that one faded too, but those are pretty much all the scars we're talking about.
That good tetanus shot. Oh, why are we talking about knees too? I got like, I don't know if y'all ever noticed it, but I got a big ass scar on my knee. And that's from the same thing. That's like from me falling. I fell so hard that like I busted my knee wide open.
Damn.
And it never healed back properly. Yeah.
I feel like knee stuff always happens that way. And even with Brennan's story, like that was always one of my like, I don't have really any fears like that, but it's like a surgery thing is always what makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, because I always hear about like a lot of doctors are cocky that do surgery.
They're cocky. They're like, they've been doing it for 25 years. Nah, it's nothing routine. Yeah, they do it with their eyes closed. They turn their head on it. Yeah, finish. And they'll leave some fucking gauze in there or some shit.
Oh, my God. You get an infection. You hear horror stories like that, man.
Yeah. For me, my scar came from actually an incident. It came from a fight with my brother. We were like, we had to do our weekend chores. Every weekend we had to wash it, like clean all the bathrooms and stuff. And we're in my dad's bathroom. And we kind of get into it, you know what I'm saying? And my dad had like this glass shower. And I pushed my brother against the wall. Then he grabs me and he's like, I told you I'm not fucking playing with you. And he grabbed me and he's pressing me against the shower. He's just pressing me against it. And I'm like, I was like, just get off me, get off me. I didn't have no shirt on. So he's like pretty much like shirt grabbing me like that.
With your skin?
With no shirt, with like my skin pretty much. He's pretty much like pressing me against it. And then I just fall fucking through. Like the,
oh my God.
The shit just burst. Shit. And it's funny, like I thought I went deaf because the glass was so loud, and I don't even know how he was able to push me but still grab me. I can't even tell you how it happened. But as I'm falling, he grabs me mid fall still and gets me up, and we run out the bathroom because it's so loud, and we're just like, oh, shit is crazy, man. The bathroom, that ain't gonna kill us. And I was like, he's like, Keenan, your back, man, it's like a piece of meat hanging off your back. And I just look back, and it's just like meat just popping out of my back right now. I still have the scar right now. I didn't even say anything. I didn't feel shit at first. I was cool.
I'm sure you didn't.
I ran and cried. And I remember I was laying on the couch, all this blood and stuff like that. And my brother was like, he got some, my dad was like, hey, you got a scar, put some alcohol peroxide on it. So, you know, alcohol burns more. So I was like, just get the peroxide, man. I can't do alcohol right now. I was like, I was going to die or something. And then, so my brother, he came over there and was putting some alcohol in it. And I was just like, and I said the corniest movie line ever that I get made fun of to this day at 34. I can still get made fun of to this day because he told everybody about it, of course.
Of course.
And it was like, I was sitting there crying. I was like, we're supposed to be bros, man. We can't be doing this.
I would definitely use that forever. Like, anytime you wrong me, anytime the rest of our lives, I'd be like, but we're supposed to be bros, man.
And the way he says it like I said it like the whitest guy, we're supposed to be bros, man. He always says it like that, too. But that scar is still there, still over my left shoulder.
Your brother is like so much trauma for you, Keenan. Like every story you talk about with your brother is just like, yeah, then he whooped my ass, and then he called me a hoe and made it in front of everybody. And then, you know, like every time, like, bruh, your brother got you.
Like I told you, my brother was, he's great. I love my brother, but he was like a nerd bully. He was very smart. He tutored me, but he also whooped my ass. So it was just like, normally you have a nerd as a sibling. You can like, all right, they can't fight. Not in this case. Like he had hands. So it was just, but you know, it made me strong.
There you go.
All right. All right. Next question. Have you guys ever had a stranger treat you as well, exceptionally well for no reason, like the old lady did in this show? Brennan.
So yeah, what's funny is even though I wrote this question, I didn't think, I couldn't come up with anything specifically, but what I did want to speak to is that, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be able to travel around the world quite a bit. And in my travels, I will say that is the thing that I always found fairly consistent is that strangers in general have always treated me really, really well. Like gone either ways. Like there's just so many stories of like, you know, like, man, we can't find something to eat, or like somebody overhears it and they're just like, oh, here, I made some bread or something. Like people are just so generous and like welcoming and just like, hey, let me just hear your story, kind of thing when you're traveling. Where are you from? You know, tell me about it. Come into my home. Like people are just so, like I remember in Vietnam, like there was like a literal like block party happening and they were singing karaoke, they're having a good time. And me and Tony Valentino, my business partner, we walked by. And we were walking by, we were looking at it like, that looks like fun. And then like a bunch of like, the felt like the mothers of the place, like they ran out to us in the street. They don't speak any English and we don't speak any Vietnamese. They just ran out to us like, come. And then they like sat us down, they gave us beer, they fed us, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, for what? Like, just because, you know? And it's just like, they were just super cool and like celebrating. We don't know we have no idea what we were celebrating. They made me get up and sing on the karaoke machine and it was horrible.
But you know, it was just like, yeah, I know Rob knows this.
I know
story.
That story.
Rob. Yeah. But either way, they were super welcoming, and that's something that, you know, I always really appreciate. I always want to be that person for other people.
Do you have seasonings okay, on your shirt? Seasonings on your shirt, Brendan?
No, these are this is from an art show I went to. It was a graffiti art show. So these are cans of
paint. Oh, got it.
Okay. They do sort of look like garlic salt or some shit.
Yeah, it's like you got Larry's on your shirt.
Larry's. For me, I can't. There has been situations, but I can't think of a specific person. But I have had strangers, like when I was a kid, really. I can't really say much of as an adult, that have treated me just super well. Or like, you know, if I guess I can just pinpoint a situation really for my brother. When I talked about last time, I think I talked about it before. My brother threw the match in the moped gas tank and it blew a fireball in his hand.
Yeah.
For him, I know those people. We didn't know those people like that. We seen them around our building, but they took him in and they treated him as well as they could before we had to go to the hospital. And they didn't know us, you know, at all, you know. And as one of the few Black families that live in that complex. It was like crazy to see. I didn't, you know, you don't expect it. Rob?
You know, I'm sure there must be something, but I really can't think of anything. Certainly.
This sounds like people are assholes, brother.
I know. Honestly, like, I'm just like, stranger? I'm sure a stranger must have helped me sometime, but certainly not on the level of what Shinichi got from this lady where she's just like, come into my house and stay for days on end. Even like what Brennan's talking about in Vietnam, I don't think I've ever had somebody just like come out and be like, come like be a part of our celebration or like come into my home. Maybe I just haven't been in enough of those situations, but no, most of the hospitality I've experienced has been from people I know or because I'm with somebody that knows the person that's hosting us. So no, I've not experienced kindness or somebody welcoming me into their home on that level that was a complete stranger that I can think of.
I will say just real quick, I will say Latinos, like I grew up out here, Latinos a lot of times when they're having a party, they want you to come. They don't, just come in, we got food. And they'll treat you like family, bro. They'll feed you, get you drunk. So I will say that has happened. That actually happened a few times as an adult or like, yeah, teen to adult, where they're just like, just come in the crib, man. We don't even know you, but we've seen you on the block before. Just come eat, break bread with us and stuff like that. Ice.
For me, it's not a specific person, but one time that sticks out for me is when I first went to San Diego. Just so people were so nice. Like I went to the deli and it was like, I was just like, oh, can I try this? Like they, like the deli person, it's like, what the fuck you want? Get your meat, get the fuck out of my face. Like they usually never be like, try this meat. Have you ever had this? And they just having full conversation with me. Actually, you know, I'm gonna give you a half a pound of this. You come back and tell me how you like it. Like just everybody there was just nice as fuck. And I'm like, damn, why is everybody so nice? But then I realized like the weather there is just amazing. So it's like people feel better when the weather's better. And it kind of reminded me of that because last week I went to Santa Monica and then just the homeless people was nice as fuck. And I'm like, why is everybody so nice? But I'm like, damn, you are at Santa Monica. Like you right off the beach. Like, and that's what made me think like people, when the weather's a certain way, it makes people feel and act a lot better. So I think that's the closest that I've come across strangers being nice to me is in Santa Monica and San Diego.
Okay. Well,
I can see that.
Let's continue with this old lady. She was dropping some jewels a little bit in this about humans, you know, about you know, people who make you feel human. Who's a relative and one relative and one non-relative that makes you feel human? Ice.
The first one, I mean, that's pretty easy. I mean, we already talked about it, my son. He makes me feel human. The time that I spent with him over quarantine was like some of the greatest moments of my entire life. The 3 months that I spent with him, like that shit was super dope. And I didn't think we can get any closer, but you know, that proved that we could. And like, that's my guy. Like, and made me, you know, y'all was just talking about it. A private person like me that don't have a real big emotional spectrum, it was really bringing feelings out of myself that I ain't never really experienced before. So I thought that was super, super dope for me. So that's the person, like he really, up until then, a lot of people would joke about me being a robot as far as like emotional stuff goes. So I think he really made me feel like a human. And then as far as non-relative, it would be one of my homegirls. She's really dope. She's really been like somebody that's kind of like talk me through like certain things. It's just like a therapist, but not your therapist. It's like, you know, everybody got that go-to friend that they talk to. I feel like she has been that for me, and just talking through certain things. And I feel like that talking through emotions, like letting you feel certain things that I ain't, like I said, I ain't felt before, that makes me feel human in a sense. So yeah, it'd be them too.
Rob. I mean, maybe this is going to come across corny, but honestly, my fiance, Andrea, you know, I don't know if that falls in
corny.
I don't know. Maybe that's going to be.
That's why Rob went so hard with the engagement. Yeah, right. He's like, you don't understand what she's done for me, Brennan.
I am half my own. I'm half ghoul and I am half parasite. She's the only thing that makes me feel like a
human.
She's
the only thing. Exactly. She drags me back. No, but like, you know, we've had a relationship for, you know, coming on almost, we're getting close to 10 years at this point. Jesus and, Christ. You know, we just learned a lot about myself and each other. And especially during this time when we're, you know, like obviously we live together, we spend a lot of time together. But since this has been, we've been sheltering in place, like pretty much since March, like we spend a lot of time together. And honestly, like, you know, you do feel like a human because you go through all those range of emotions. We have our up days, our down days. And, you know, I think all of those things make us stronger and make me really like look at myself, you know. And on that same page, I guess a non-family person, considering she's going to be part of my family soon. My best friend, Jason, you know, he was there for that firework day when I got that scar on my leg. Like we've been I knew this guy since we were on a T-ball team in kindergarten. And, you know, it's just been crazy to like check in with him and still know him and just like see where we've been at like all these years through all these changes. Really just kind of like there's not many people in my life that like I know almost everything about this man and he knows almost everything about me. Like there's very little that we don't know about each other at this point. So those would be my two people.
Brennan.
I have a twin brother. And I'm extremely close with him. So like, it's just like, anytime I got to talk about anything, feel anything, whatever, it's like, I normally don't even have to really explain it to him. You know, it's interesting.
It's a cool power to have.
It's pretty dope, man. My brother knows me, man. My brother knows me. Like, it's like somebody will ask, like, what's Brennan up to right now? He could look at his watch and be like, he's blah. Like, he just knows. He knows me so well. Like, even when I call him, like, yo, man, like, what's good? He can just hear my voice and say, okay, what's going on? Like, it's just, it's crazy. Vice versa. Like, I can immediately just know what's going on with him. So it's like having an extension of yourself.
What is your brother doing right now?
Right now, he's probably working on his album, making music. No, wait, it's 4:21. He's driving home.
Check on that, like, twin psychic ability.
He's driving
home. Twin powers activate.
Well, that one was easy because his job lets him out at 4 o'clock. So it's 4:21.
That's a gimme.
And I know. Yeah, so he either just got home or driving home. But he's going to be working on music tonight. So it's my brother and probably my best friend, Dan, like from growing up. That guy is one of the funniest human beings on the planet. And like I literally, regardless if you believe it, I have it or not, got my entire sense of humor from him. Like this dude, if y'all met him, like you just be like, this guy should easily be on stage. He's of the funniest human beings, of one of the best human beings. And like also one of the craziest people I've ever met and the things that he did while we were growing up. I've seen and witnessed and heard stories of the craziest shit you can possibly imagine. And it always was with him. And now he's a school teacher.
That's hilarious.
Somebody with your personality is teaching school? What grade?
Elementary school teacher. No, we don't have the same personality. Like I said, sense of humor.
Okay.
Our personalities are very different. I say he's a lot more grand than I am is the way that I would put it. He's like in every moment is the most epic thing that's ever happened. And he's not only going to allow that to occur, he's going to enhance it with his words. And you're just going to be sitting there just like, this guy, like that's how you'll feel around him the whole time. And for me, he taught me so much about human interaction and how to be able to evoke emotions that you want from people because he just did it so naturally.
Yeah.
Like inspiration, you know?
I say for me, I have to say relative, my aunt Pat. Every time I would go see my aunt Pat, let me tell you something, bro. Like she makes me feel like not even just a human, like a child again. She makes sure she grabs me. She picks me up. She gives me the biggest hug. She shows me the most love. And I feel like I go from like the age that I'm at, I go back to being a kid again in her arms. It's the craziest thing.
And I feel like she's just always, at least for me, she's always been super positive, super nice. She's that loving aunt that she gives so much love, but she's one of those, she's the same person. If you push the wrong way, she can handle you in a way that you wouldn't want to be handled. Mm-hmm.
Does she have?
That's why I like her. Yeah, she has my two cousins, Dan, who's actually in the chat that we're in, the animation chat, and then his older brother, Dupree. And then, you know, they're raised with a lot of love through that. And, you know, I, when I see that, you know, I used to be like, man, if I was raised in that household, things would be different out here in these streets. And now when I'm older, I don't realize the things that happened to me built my character. But, yeah, I will always say her. And every time I speak to her on the phone or I text her or something like that, you know, I always just, I get that feeling of just being like, man, just feeling like a kid again. Non-relatives. I mean, I had a few, I guess. I guess recently would be my therapist. But if I would say old friends that have grown up, it'd be my two closest friends. Like, I call them family, Ricky and B. And for the reasons of just, like, they'll never let me get on a high horse. They make sure that I am human. They make sure that you're not different. Like, at the end of the day, you know, you're a human being. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get too big of a head. And they don't let, it's not like in a way of, like, breaking down your confidence. It's just in a way of like, yo, like, be real out here, man. At the end of the day, don't ever shit on anybody, nothing like that. And so they kind of keep me grounded with their personalities and you know, and their sense of humor too. So I would say Ricky and B, non, and I would say Auntie as my relative. All right, next question. With the reveal of the mayor being human all along, and he sees the parasites as he sees the parasites as the answer to human threat against Earth. Does he fit in the category of Thanos or Killmonger, where you can kind of see their point, or is this guy just crazy as hell and he's a traitor to the human race? Rob,
there was a part of me that definitely felt what this guy was talking about, especially the idea that one of the things that resonated with me the most is when he talked about how even like environmentalism and taking care of the planet is technically like a selfish act for humans. And I think about that all the time. You know, we do a lot of environmentalist shit. And one of the things that I think about is that people talk about like, oh, we got to save the planet. Ultimately, the planet will be fine. It's us that we have to save. The planet, there have been like 5 extinction level events that like predate humans. And we're still here. Like, something will come after us. And so for him to say, like, we're basically a poison on this earth and just kind of, like, trying to make it into something that's good for us and not necessarily good for the other things on this planet, I don't know. That kind of resonated with me. I kind of can see where he's coming from. I can see why somebody could go to that point to be like, you know, we need somebody to put us in check. You know, because we've got the game rigged, you know, in our favor. We are the top of the food chain, and there's... maybe we need something that'll keep us in check.
I wonder how we would respond to being at on the top of the food chain no more.
Not well.
It'll be an all out war. We would die before that happens. So it wouldn't be, I don't even think it'd be a thing. But Rob, you that's a good point. It's like I when I saw, you know, Black Panther, I agree with Killmonger. When I see these type of things, I'm always like, go ahead. I gotta still, yeah, I don't know how long it's gonna take. But I always feel like some people have to go. You know what I'm saying? My only concern in a situation like this, because I agree that people have to go, but who is the person making that judgment?
Right.
And that's what I can't get with the most. Because normally if it's one person, it's rarely a collective of level-headed people. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's a collective of people that are just in power, and they're power hungry and they're money hungry. So they're going to do in the best interest for them. They're not going to do in the best interest of humanity. And even with something like the parasites, we don't know how they're choosing to kill people. So it's just like all of that is just like a crazy, kind of a scary thought. But I honestly get him. I can't say he's fully off his rocker. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with just letting shit just go and letting the parasites kind of be like, all right, man, since y'all the poison, we gotta pretty much even y'all out like this. Maybe that's the fairest way to do it, actually. Maybe just like let that run its course, and then the survival of the fittest, they rock. You know what I'm saying? So I guess I understand, but I can't disagree with who the people that are choosing that.
Sure.
Ice.
To piggyback off what you're saying, too, I don't think there's a collective in this world that's good enough to make that decision.
Huh? Trustworthy at all. Yeah. Just trustworthy
can,
at all.
No. And you can even take us for granted. I love myself and I love y'all, but like, I wouldn't even want to be on that board. I don't feel comfortable with y'all three being on that board. No. Even if you like, you can't give me four people in this world or any group of people. You can put my grandma in it and she's the most God-fearing person I've ever met. And I'll still be like, nah, because you know she got
some, all non-Christians.
That's what I'm about to say. Exactly.
You're like, shit.
Exactly. So it's just like, no, there's no collective that can do that. And when I was watching it, I was like, this dude is fucking tripping. Like, he has lost his goddamn mind. Like, I think, Rob made a good point that, you know, we're saving the earth for us and we have survived a lot, you know, five big disasters and more than that. But he's tripping. Like, that dude doing that speech, he has fucking lost his mind. I'm like, this dude is tripping because we don't need nothing or nobody to come down here. I mean, look at COVID. You know, I had a friend say it the other day, kind of like what Kenya just said. It's like, COVID is just eradicating people, like, and just by like natural selection, quote unquote. So it's like, this is probably the biggest, the closest we came to any type of parasite eradicating, you know, the human race, and look how we handling that. So, I think he's fucking tripping.
Brian?
I think he's a traitor. Mm. For sure. Like, I understand where Rob's coming from on the Killmonger shit, like the environmental stuff. I feel all that. And I'm not saying, I don't think this is a binary question where it's just like, are you this or that? But if I had to pick one, I'd say he's a traitor and he's crazy. That he thinks he can take on that responsibility, that he believes he can usher that in along with parasites that he knows almost nothing about.
Right.
It's straight up traitor. Like, it's just traitor. It's like, you might not like humans, but how are you going to cling to something you don't even know? Right. That's some crazy shit. So traitor with that saw too many Marvel movies.
What's crazy to me is too. Sorry, one, just real quick is that it was like Ryoko and the other parasites that were looking to him, and he was like, "No, this is why you guys are here." Just to find out at the end of all that he was a human, and he's telling them why they're here. Kind of.
So yeah. The real question is, how did he find out that they're all parasites and then not get killed?
Yeah.
That's the real question. That's the mystery of this whole show. How is he not dead after finding out the parasites are parasites?
He was helping them out.
A question that I was going to say was, were you shocked? Well, I guess we all, that kind of was answered. We were all shocked at that. And we're going to get to that. I think we're going to get more to that when we do our wrap-ups pretty much. So are you guys playing dead? And if you're one of the cops and you saw Goto just mawing down people, are you playing dead? For me, yes. I don't understand why some of these cops wasn't like, oh shit, just slid down. I would have slid down the wall. I would have shot myself in the arm. Ah! Jonathan just said you would have saw some blood or something like that. I'm not, what he was doing, there was a scene where they showed him and he like went through the door or something like that. And all you saw was just a pool of blood. That was it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please continue.
No, I'm saying, would you, go ahead, Brandon. Would you have faked your death?
While they were fighting, I would have ran. I wouldn't have faked my death. Like, he's just, like, the fighting stances that they were taking were very, like, so much like, I'm going to stand here and fight you guys here. I'm going to take you guys out in this hallway. It wasn't like he was chasing them down. Like, they were chasing him down. And so, like, he was pretty much defending himself, to be fully honest. So if you just saw that shit and turned around and ran, I think you're safe.
You know, I don't think you're running immediately. When he goes, let's go to the hallway.
Oh,
I'm walking towards the hallway, and then I'm breaking. I'm like, ah.
No. As soon as he says, like, we need more space, let's go over here, just calmly, like looking down these shotguns, I'd say, Chief, I gotta go check on something. They'd be like, oh, okay, Brennan, we trust you. You've always been a resourceful, trustful guy.
Jump out the window.
I would calmly back away. And then as soon as I got out of the line of sight and ear, I am running.
Just like that Homer Simpson gif where he just like fades into the bushes. Just
This guy gets it.
Rob?
Oh yeah, I would totally play dead. I'm not fucking with that guy. Are you kidding me? Like if I was in that like big room where he just was like spitting out those like shotgun pellets and I just got like a flesh wound and I see everybody else is done, like I'm calling it a day. I'm I'm closing my eyes and just praying to anything that he just he's on to the next one. And I there's nothing anybody can do at that point. They didn't bring enough guns. They didn't bring big enough guns. Or the one thing, they were just like, hey, Shinichi, like, what should we use? And they didn't. He tells him a flamethrower and they didn't bring it. And I'm like, we didn't get one of those. We're done. I'm taking a nap. I'm out of here.
And yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. Ice.
Any person that, if you catch somebody slipping or you catch somebody and run up on them and they say, hey, let's go to a different location where there's more room. Anybody that does that, that already, I would have been like, I'm straight. I'm good. You want to go somewhere else? You're trying to relocate? Like, what in the Goku is going on here that you got to relocate? And no, I don't want no smoke at that point. If I'm about to fight somebody and they say, let's go somewhere else, I'm good, fam. Because
never go to a second location.
Exactly. No. One of two things, that location is their benefit, and they either got people there or they got some shit rigged that's not in your favor. Or two, that motherfucker gets busy to a level you have not seen nor felt in your entire life. So,
absolutely.
And I don't want neither one of those. So I would have, like Brennan said, fucking out it. If I would have been in that situation where right when I saw him take all them bullets and I just would have got a flesh wound, oh yeah, you gonna give me a fucking Oscar for my shit, because I'm gonna be the deadest motherfucker in that room. Because hell no.
Yeah, I'm passing
it.
Out.
Thinking, yeah.
Next question. Do you guys believe that that humans are the cure or are the poison and are the cure for the human race?
What?
Do you believe humans are the poison and the cure?
And the cure. Oh, okay.
Brennan?
I do. I am an optimist in general, but I'm also a realist. The realist in me tells me that, yes, we are poisoning this planet, the water, the air. You know, our existence can be considered a horrible thing. But then it's also just like, then you look at art and like all the altruism and like the good people out there that I've met that are truly only wanting to make things better and make, you know, positive energy. It just so happens to be that we live in this capitalistic society that was, you know, that was created by the victors right now, you know. So the most violent are the ones who took the power. You know, that's how it ended up being. And that's how capitalism came to be. And that's how, you know, the world is structured the way it is. Just whoever was most violent, the best at being the most violent, took all the power, took everything, and now they're running the world. And they're like, well, why is it fucked up? Like, oh, I wonder. You know, like the most violent, powerful, you know, fuck you up human beings on the planet are the ones who created all the systems that govern the way that we do things. But on the other side of it, I've seen the space of human compassion. I've seen the capabilities of what people can do when they come together for a common cause. And I can't help but believe that we have just as much destructive power. We have to have balance in the sense of the ability to build and create on the other side of it. So I think, you know, we have the capability as humans to be evil or good. Obviously subjective, but that's just my perspective.
Bars. Yes.
I mean, I'm pretty much with you. I think humans are just in life and in the universe. I think there has to be balance. You know what I'm saying? There has to be a good and the evil. It can't all be good. It can't all be evil. And so I'm pretty much with you, Brennan. Rob?
Yeah, I agree as well. You can, a lot of things you can see evil and good. Like, I think even with religion, we've talked about before, you can see religion being capable of both incredible good and incredible evil, unfortunately. To sprinkle a little pessimism in there, I would say
I knew it. I was like, Rob's going to say some pessimistic shit, but go on.
To sprinkle a little pessimism in there, I think humans as a whole, we poison quickly and cure slowly, personally. I think that it is there, but I think when we do damage, the damage stacks up very fast, and it takes a long time for us to heal those wounds.
Okay. Nice.
I mean, it really comes down to who says who. Like, who is to say that it's poison? I mean, your poison can be my cure. My cure can be your poison. If I see, you know, we've had so many wars that, you know, in our eyes as Americans, we look like we're the cure to all these other countries' problems. But to them, we're fucking decimating the entire countries and livelihoods and civilizations. So, you know, from an America, it's like, yeah, America, yeah, we're the cure to this, you know, fascism and all this other shit. But then to them, we the fucking poison that's just come. And we've had a long track record of doing this, and we still doing it today, even within our own country. I mean, if these past couple months haven't showed you that, then you've just been under the fucking rock. And to them, you know, some people think that, I mean, not to get super woke or nothing, but like the Confederate flag, to that people, like, that's a cure. They feel like this is our cure. This is something that we hold mighty. And to people like myself, it's like, what the, that's bullshit. Like, this is embedded racism and symbolized. So, yeah, it just depends on who line is it. But like Rob said, I feel like we're way more poisonous than any type of cure.
I feel like, I agree with that. Don't yuck somebody's yum. If that makes any sense to Rob's, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was thinking that same thing too.
Cause you never know. Like you said, to them, it's like that's poisonous, but it's like you don't know what that is to me. That could be great. I can taste amazing.
Right.
So that's what that made me think of that. Yuck somebody.
Yeah, don't yuck somebody's yum.
Yeah.
On a global scale.
Exactly. That reminds me of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All right. So last question. Did the parasites have a gender? I don't know if it was ever really explained, but Brennan, what do you think, brother?
I don't know. Like they made it seem like that the woman with the baby was a woman, but. The parasites are parasites. They talk like their hosts. So, you know, the only thing I can say is that we saw that one time a parasite tried to go from a male to a female body and couldn't do it. So do they take on the gender of the person that they inhabit? Possibly. Do they have gender on their own? How do they reproduce? We don't know. I just thought that was weird because I remember thinking of the woman with the baby as a woman. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is that a woman? You know, is there a gender here? And that's how I came up with the question. So I don't know. I want to hear what you guys thought.
I mean, I didn't understand either. I felt like Miki was a guy. I thought he referred to him as him at some point. Now I could be tripping. I don't know if it was ever explained. And I'll get into some of that during my, my whole little, you know, portion. But Ice?
I don't think they have any genders. I don't see them as genders. I think the one time that we got to see parasites in their natural form, you know, Miggy ain't had no dick swinging or nothing like that. He didn't have no big boobs or nothing like that. So there wasn't no telltale signs to show which way, if he was male or female. So, no, I don't think so. If I had to say what race they, I mean, not race, what gender they was, I would say it would be a male. But I think they acclimate to whatever gender that they host.
Of course, a man would say that. Toxic. Toxic masculinity, Ice. So
I mean, if
everything is male.
If anything, I'm saying that men are trash, and that we know is are we were parasitic. So
conquer and parasitic. Yeah, I can see that.
Rob,
Just kind of to echo what you guys have been saying. No, I don't really think they. It doesn't seem to me that they start with a gender at all. And I thought immediately of the example that Brennan already brought up. You know, when they're in the brain a while, it seems like they kind of change and adapt in a way that seems to influence their gender. You know, whether it be that parasite that had to jump to Shinichi's mom or even Ryoko, like developing those, you know, maternal instincts. But that also seemed to be just like, you know, over time and being with the child. So, no, I would say intrinsically they don't seem to have any sort of gender to me. Migi seemed to be. I know we kind of referred to him as a him, but many times I thought like kind of just an it, like he just, it doesn't really have one or the other. If anything, I just said he out of convenience and to make it easy to refer to Miki.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go to the portion of our favorite moments, our worst moments and our scores and how we felt about the anime, the last four episodes and to wrap it all the way up. Brennan, you care to go first?
Yeah, sure. Favorite moment. Least favorite moment. Definitely, I hated the whole first half of the last episode. And maybe the second half of the last episode where it's just like the dream conversation with Miggy and him like questioning life. And I feel like just the whole them trying to make this show bigger than it was, like, yo, let's talk about human existence. You know, it's like, this show really didn't, like, it did it. It played on the edge of it, but it didn't, it's not a show that I consider to be like deep enough to like, it was like this show was trying to swim in the deep end,
you're trying to be even
they only got one water wing. You know what I'm saying? You didn't learn how to swim. You got one water wing and you trying to get to the deep end. Like, you're not there. Like, you stay in the shallow. I just felt like they were really reaching at the end of the show. I didn't like that. What did I like? I did like how busy Miggy got in that final fight, man. He was about that life. He showed up with like, blah, blah, you are dead, sir. And here's why. And like, explained it all, like the poison. I like that moment when it's like, yo, like, why is this just laying here? Is cyanide just laying here? It's like, yeah, humans. I like that part. So I get my rating, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So these last four episodes, I think, like I said, we're reaching pretty hard. So I'm going to go with like a 6,200 for the last four. And I'm going to give the entire series about a 6,400. Okay. Thought it was pretty good. I'd recommend it. I think it was worth watching. But for me, it's like overall at the end of this, I'm like, this is a decent to good anime. It's like, would I recommend watching it? If you've seen everything else that I've seen that I've already recommended before, then yeah, why not? If you just really want to watch something anime, like for sure, definitely. Like you're not gonna be mad you watched it. But it's just like, yo, like I like anime. I've only seen like two or three things. What do I watch next? This is not gonna be on that recommendation list.
Okay. I'll go next. Favorite thing, I guess the twist with the mayor being human. I was kind of like, oh snap! I wasn't expecting that. Least favorite thing, I would say probably just the last pretty much two episodes. Didn't like them. They were just, I mean, thought they were whack, trash. Me personally, these four episodes were the weakest. I thought they were pretty bad. I felt like they mixed us up a little bit with they made it seem like the mayor thing was a dream because Shinichi wakes up like it didn't happen. A few dream sequences in here. I felt like they were trying to wrap stuff up too fast. We didn't get a lot of stuff about, like, we didn't get anything about the parasites, about where they came from, about a lot of stuff about any history about them. I agree with Brendan about trying to make it fake deep. I feel like if you're going to make those points, you should have made those points, dropped all those points in the beginning to the end. Like, as much as I make fun of Trash Gun, they had a lot of, you know, stuff in there where you're just sitting there like, damn, man, at the end of the day, like, there were some deep moments, and every episode ended you with, like, a nice little deep little quote or something like that from Vash. So I respected that about Trigun. But this, I just felt like you tried to do it at the end, and I was like, that was whack. So overall, these four, I give, like, 3,800. I did not like them at all.
You
said they were horrible.
You just robbed the fuck out of this one.
No, I didn't. You mean with the left turn? Yeah. Not really, because I said it wasn't good the whole time. But I texted
800.
I text Rob. He did. I text Rob. You could ask him, and I was just like, "What the fuck is this, man?"
He did.
What the fuck is this right now? I was pissed because it's the expectation that we all had for this to end. For them to get busy, you said Miggy got busy. That wasn't a get busy fight to me. Neither one of the times when he fought him, like at the end, and then when he came back and sliced him up, I was like, this shit was weak, bro. It just wasn't good. But overall, I would still give the series around like a 6,300, 6,400 because I did enjoy it. And like, again, I think Brennan hit it on the head. I think it's an anime that I would recommend if you've seen a bunch of stuff already. If you're just like, man, I've seen like damn near everything, but I haven't seen, you seen Parasite? Nah, check it out, man. I think you might have. I mean, you'll enjoy it.
The fact that I would just not be like you. Conversation.
Yeah, that's just how my brain works. So yeah, I would not recommend this to like a guy that's just like, I'm trying to get into anime, or girls trying to get into anime and be like, yo, watch Parasite. I think they would be like. I ain't gonna fuck with anime too much more after this. Like, it's not something I need to watch. You know what I'm saying? Rob?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. This was definitely a weaker finish to the series than I was hoping for. My favorite moment, I'm just gonna agree with Keenan. Honestly, the mayor, that reveal, that was my favorite moment and probably the highlight of these four episodes, because I was like, oh shit. Like, I had some genuine surprise there, and I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. My least favorite moment would probably be like that last scene up with Origami up on the rooftop. It felt like such a weird way to cap off the series, like with this dude that they brought in so late, and there have been so many other villains that meant so much more. I'm like, I don't really, it felt so tacked on to the end and a little forced. So, and in general, I felt like the show kind of did that. There were things in there that were just unnecessary. I think you could take out that whole plot line with that other girl that wore the earmuffs that died. You could lift that right out, and I don't think you would change the story much at all. That just kind of happened, and then we wasted like 4 episodes plus on that. That being said, overall, the show, I did like it. The stuff with his mom early on, I thought was really good storytelling. I even thought some of the stuff with Ryoko was really interesting. I thought that I really wish they had done more with Murano. The one thing I'll give that last scene is that I finally felt like Murano was becoming her own character. Like, she wasn't just like crying after Shinichi and waiting for him to tell her what to do or something like that. So these 4 episodes, I would give these 4 episodes a 5,800, and the show as a whole, I would give a 6,000. I'd say it's a pretty good, like, you know, mid-level anime. You know, again, I would recommend it if you've seen some of the big league guys already. It was an all right show. I didn't hate it.
Yeah, and well, just let me add one quick thing too. The fact that they had a fast forward and had him in college, and then they don't talk about the baby at all. What happened to the fucking
baby?
That's a big point. That's it. That could have been a definite closer to be like, all right, this baby is half parasite, half human. It's going to kind of bring them together or whatever the case may be, or go on a terror. Forgot all about this motherfucker. Yeah. Go ahead, Ice.
Like I said, I picked this show because I saw a clip, and the clip that I saw was the dude from the gym, from the gym dude with the short shorts going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with y'all. Although it was a good show, I was super let down by this show. I was not only that, because when I picked it and then everybody, you know, found out what I was going to pick, everybody hit me separately like, oh, you picked Parasite. Like, it's about to be you. You got a W coming your way. And although it looks like I do have a W for this one, this W is not the strong W that I sensed that I was going to get due to feedback from other people and seeing that clip. We called it at that time. We did say that the highlight of the show was going to be that clip, and that held true throughout the whole thing. And I don't have my blinders on. I'm not biased just because this is my pick. I do feel like super, super let down by this show and how they ended things and how muddled it got in these last 4 episodes more specifically. But it's so many things. Like, I think Rob made this point, or somebody made this point, like, I really wanted his mom to be an antagonist throughout the whole show. Like, I feel like that's something that everybody, for the most part, at least us on the show, you know, we have moms. So it's like, we know that pain. Mostly people that's watching anime, they know the bond of a mother. So that for that to be your antagonist and for them to go there and just brush her off so quickly, I feel like they really could have played with that amongst, like, and if you're going to throw that away, you need to go hard in the paint with another plot line or another protagonist. I mean, excuse me, antagonist. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do that. Favorite moment of these stretch of these 4 episodes. I liked the it wasn't really an action moment, but I really liked the old lady and how she was going in when he left and just talking about like the human element and stuff like that. Like, you got to feel, you got to do that. And I think where I'm at in life, I felt like that hit me on a
hated that part.
Huh?
Hated that part. That shit was, I didn't even feel like, I was like, they're gonna drop this lady in here so late like this? What the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, I think where it placed that in the story and stuff, I think that was trash, and that was, from a writing perspective, that was garbage. I just like what she was saying. I just think that part where she was saying that she got a feel, I think that was pretty cool. But my least favorite part was really, what's the guy named? The main antagonist, Goto?
Goto, yeah.
Goto, like, any scene that he was fighting, that shit was trash. I think the pools of blood that was moving when he did it, I think that was cool, but that was an awesome place where he could have really went to work, and you really could have saw dope animation, dope fighting, dope, like, you could have saw a lot of carnage, and they just dropped the ball, and we already seen that they're capable of doing that from Short Shorts dude going crazy. So I think that was a good time for him to look. His character design was very dope, but I feel like it didn't live up to, you know, him being a fighter. So for that stretch of episodes, I'll get that stretch of episodes of 5,800. Overall for the show, it's a 6,500 for me. Oh, and then as far as recommendations, I would recommend it. I just think I would just preface with, like, what do you, you know, almost any time there's a recommendation, there's only very few animes that you would just recommend no matter what somebody's watched or what somebody is into. But I would just say, hey, if you're into horror stuff, or if you watch the Tokyo Ghoul and you're like, I really like Tokyo Ghoul, what should I watch next? And it's like, oh, you should definitely check out Parasite. That's something that's, you know, up your alley.
The dude, at the end of the day, too, the dude from Tokyo Ghoul at the end of season one is wiping the floor with Shinichi.
Beating his ass.
I feel like that's, I feel like that's settled.
That's definitely settled. And I feel like, even with, like, to wrap it up, these fight scenes, besides him going ham and with the short shorts, I think you're right. Mm. Literally, every Parasite fight was this. Was literally this the whole, so the fight scenes were, the fight scenes were actually, I know we clown the Blades of the Immortal, but this was trash too. Like, pretty much, like, this is everything. It's like you had a chance for the last guy to have all these other parasites all over his body to, like, actually be fighting and punching.
Yeah.
And they dropped the ball. And that's why my score was so low with all this stuff. I understand y'all were a little shocked by it, but a lot of moments I didn't like. The old lady moment, I was just like, what are you talking about?
The placement for her was bad.
Why are we here?
She was dropping bars.
Yeah, but then a cleaver with poison, that's what Beast is. Like, come on, bro. Yeah, of all things, like, of this massive beast that was just smashing everybody, you had, like,
bro,
you said.
Bro, it was symbolic for how humans poison the world.
I think I got Demon Slayer vibes from these last four episodes, too. Like, when he was trying to fight him and he cut his head off, and he was like, damn it, we didn't finish, like. That's fucking Demon Slayer in a nutshell.
I get that, but I wouldn't give Demon Slayer. I wouldn't give that vibe because of that. I mean, I feel like you guys said, they had Ryoku and his mom could have easily been dope ass antagonists, and would have been something forward to look forward to at the end or right before the main boss, this guy. And I would have been like,
even Goto was like, oh, I wish Ryoko was here. Like, fucking me too, man. Yeah. Me too.
So
me too. Do you think do you think Kaneki is beating Goto?
Ooh. You mean after season one?
Not
season one.
Yeah, the Kaneki that y'all know, is he beating Goto?
Not from what I've seen by the end of season one. I'd have to see more from Kaneki.
Because Goto season one and Kaneki season one, I feel like Goto, he didn't have a weak point unless you found that in that little piece in the back. Mm-hmm. So if Kaneki doesn't find that, he's getting smashed on, bro. Mm-hmm.
So Kaneki can't die, though. I mean, it's very hard for him to die. So I think that's what
he can take an ass whooping, though.
It would just be him trying to fight each other, trying to figure out whoever weak point is first. Like, whoever.
Yeah, exactly.
The wacky inflatable arm, like, things from all those, like, cars.
That was exactly, not the fight scenes, the wacky inflatable arm is going back and forth. That was every fight scene, bro. Trash.
I'd like to point out that Rob is, like, eerily good at the wacky inflatable arms gesture. Yeah.
I feel like longer guys, we would have got guys that are longer because it's just so lanky.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, whose turn is it next for the pick? For their pick. I know we're going to probably watch a movie in between, but who's that guy? Was it Rob?
Is it me?
It's Rob, yeah. It always goes Rob, Brennan, Rob, Brennan, Keenan, and me.
Oh, shit. What the fuck does that mean?
What did you pick last time, Rob?
I honestly don't even remember.
I will put this.
What did you pick last time, Brennan?
What did I
pick?
Did
you pick Evangelion or whatever?
No, that wasn't last time. I did pick that. Last time I picked something. I think it was Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy Bebop. Bullshit.
I'm just saying, Rob gonna try to make us think and shit again. That's all.
Yeah, come on, guys. Don't you want to, like, get sad and stuff?
I just want to see motherfuckers get killed.
Rob's gonna pick a classic that might not age that well, and we're going to watch it for the first time, and then we're going to trash it, and we're going to get bad reviews on YouTube because we trashed a classic that we saw in our fucking late 20s and 30s.
Like, first season of One Piece.
No, Rob's going to be like, hey, guys, you know, like, I really did some soul searching and talked to my fiance. I really think we should watch Inuyasha.
Yeah, let's do some, like, Inuyasha. Sailor Moon season one.
Yo, if he do that,
this big Death Note, man, so we can have a good time. You know, we've already seen it. Yeah. We've all been on you to watch it because we feel like, actually, Killer Cam's watching it right now.
Death Note is so good.
I mean, I don't know if we're making the announcement here, but that is what I'm leaning towards is my pick.
Okay. That's what you're leaning towards? Okay, cool. No. For the movie, it's going to be super short because it's not a full movie, but I suggest that, you know, I think it'd be a good dialogue because it's fresh too. I suggest that we watch the SpongeBob anime for next week.
Oh, shit.
I think we should do that. I think that'd be cool to talk about.
That was real.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's like 15 minutes long. And it's like, yeah, I think we should definitely watch it.
We can talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm a SpongeBob fan.
Go ahead and drop your stuff, guys. Go ahead, Ice.
Oh, one thing I want to say, one of our fellow listeners, Keenan Poley, he's done a podcast, and myself and Keenan is on that podcast. By the time this drop, my episode will be out. It's called, what is it called?
For example.
There we go, Rob. Love you for that.
terrible.
Hey, I'm doing my
I was hoping you just let him struggle through that. He really cared about that.
Huh? I saw it, so I would have got it. For example, is a podcast. We had a good talk. Please listen to that. Listen to my episodes. Just subscribe to it. Listen to Keenan's episodes when he have it. And if you guys want to follow me, you can follow me at ice.mcgowan.
And yeah, also on my episode, Brennan Mays makes a guest appearance for a split second. And gets asked a question. Yeah.
Did not know that they were recording a podcast. Oh, man. Did not know.
Go ahead, Rob. Drop yourself.
I'm RV Danger on Instagram, RVDanger44 on Twitter. I had somebody reach out to me recently. Sorry, my phone's in airplane mode. I'd give you a shout out maybe next week. He actually reached out. He said he watched season 2 of Iron Blooded Orphans, and he said the bodies hit the floor that season. So, I've been thinking about following up on that too. But yeah, you can find me RV Danger on Instagram, RVDanger44 on Twitter.
Brennan?
At Mr. Producer Face on Venmo and Instagram.
Keenan Baker on every single thing. I think I got an actual Cash App for like $2 also. So Keenan Baker on Cash App.
Nice.
And on Venmo, Keenan Baker on all social media platforms pretty much. Make sure y'all check out Keenan's podcast. Make sure you check out Gadget Geekery's podcast. Just show some love to everybody, man. Let us know what y'all thought about Parasite the Maxim. And I will say one thing, last thing. I do like when anime put their own kind of stuff in on t-shirts or hats in the anime. Like the dude, I think with the guy that was a killer, he had like a Maxim shirt on.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Or a hat or something like that. Yeah. I always kind of like stuff like that. So let us know y'all score of these last four and of the anime overall. And yeah, man, we thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out. Bastard, I tried to say we had not set it off.
It was pretty spot on too.
It was good. All right.
And so anime was solved forever.